Hello and welcome to another edition of the Monday Masterclass. And today we're just going to have a chat about barrier trials and jump outs and their importance. Joining us from ratingstowin.com.au, as always on Mondays, is Paul Daly. How are you, Paul?
Yeah, good morning, Nadia. Good morning, listeners. Barrier trials, great subject, Nadia, and all important considering that we're sort of seeing a lot of horses resuming now for the spring. And as we get into the better races, we obviously use them as a guide to determine how horses are going and how they might have come back and whether or not they're actually gone ahead or gone backwards.
Just in your insight, you actually think that they are quite a useful tool?
Oh, for sure. I mean, if you've got the right data to match alongside of it, fortunately, as part of our time verification process, we get all the trials that obviously there is vision for verified, so we get different sections and so forth verified so we can see on the day accurate times. Trial times are very notable for being wrong and wildly wrong in a lot of occasions. You know, often there's, you know, I've seen situations where there's more than a second difference between, you know, an 800 metre trial save and what the official time's telling us and what our time's telling us. So that makes a massive difference if you're using them as a guide. But look, having the different data sets available to you, and obviously within our software too, Nadia, we can actually see what we call the weighted average speed rating for all of the horses contesting trials. So whilst a horse trialing can look impressive to the eye, it mightn't have beaten anything. So you need to sort of have an idea of the opposition that you're up against as well.
Okay, well, let's talk about a few of those points that you've just brought up. First of all, look, ways to read trials, and there are various ways in which you can read them. Sometimes we do get sucked in by the visual impressiveness of a trial, but all the other factors have to come into play as well when you determine how well a horse has gone. You know, the strength of the trial, the time it's ran, also even a horse's previous ability, because we know a horse can't sort of improve 6 to 7 lengths within a couple of months. So there's various other factors that you've got to take into play when you are reading trials.
Oh, for sure. And realistically, I think it's a good idea to have an understanding about how to horse trials historically. And when you're comparing its trial performances against it, you know, obviously look for gear changes, whether that be gear on or gear off in trials compared to what the horse might normally be carrying. That can be important. Understanding what they're wearing on their feet as far as shoes or plates. You know, if you've got access to that information, then there are some resources around that allow you to identify that, certainly on Brisbane racing. In terms of interstate, knowing how trainers trial their horses in terms of, you know, typically whether they trial in blinkers, for example, or whether they use typical race plates or maybe light steel or heavy steel. You know, all of that sort of thing can be helpful. Some of that information is obviously valuable IP that's hard to come by, and I'm not going to sort of get into revealing, you know, a lot of that sort of information, but it is out there for really conscientious punters who want to find out to use that to their advantage. So yeah, you've got to know what obviously the strength of the horse you're trialing against, what you're typically expecting to see from that sort of horse, the gear changes that might be relevant, and obviously just how it performs in its trial in terms of not only visually, but in terms of what it does on the clock.
And also you talk about times, and it's so important to actually rank those times against actually how the other horses performed on the day. It's all well and good to come up with a certain time, but it might have been a really fast trial session. It's no different to when you assess a race.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, with trials, you can't produce what we call a variant or a track speed figure because, you know, they run at catch weights, and often, you know, a lot of horses aren't compelled to try, and so and different trial distances on the day, and only sometimes limited heats at a particular distance. So it's very difficult to get what we call a track speed figure till we have adjusted times, but we still compare them against pars, and we obviously end up with, you know, a figure of lengths above or below what they do. And obviously having the ability to compare them on the day will tell you the real value of the trial, not just the actual time in isolation.
Okay, we have the official trials, and then we've got the jump outs as well. Do you take put any weight on jump outs at all?
Oh, jump outs are important, you know, to get a guide on, you know, a horse's ability to. They are more problematical because, you know, finding the information is part of the problem. I mean, Melbourne started, as you know, or have been for now some time, producing videos of their jump outs on a couple of different sites. I think Caulfield, Caulfield, Sandown and Mornington are on one site and Flemington's on another site. So, yeah, you can actually see that information and get a good feel for at least perhaps, you know, what sort of gait speed a horse might have, et cetera, in some of these young horses. So, yeah, they are helpful. I mean, they are more difficult sometimes if you can't identify the horses. Some of the trainers even have their own website or website links to how their horses are actually jumping out too. So, but yeah, just being able to dig around and know where to go and where to look can actually sometimes provide you with a valuable lead. But you know, it's not as obviously widely available as just a general trials information.
Do you sometimes find that a lot of good trialers, in particular horses who are first up, can be overbet in particular in a lot of the early markets when there might be a bit of a spruik around about how a horse is trialled?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, trials are hard to read sometimes and it's a real art in itself and it takes a long time to actually to learn that skill to do it well. You know, sometimes you see a horse, you know, look like it's restrained and sort of under double wraps and, you know, often those horses can end up sort of overbet and realistically, you know, if they let the horse go, it's got nothing. So it's sometimes difficult to know just how much they've got up their sleeve. And other times, you know, when they're pushed out and they're sort of ridden along, you know, some people discount the value of that trial. But I think it all comes back down to, you know, what type of intent shown by the jockey, you know, and horses resuming first up, you know, they can often prove to be decent betting opportunities if you know what you're looking at and know what to expect. I think it just comes down to the individual horse, Nadia, and the individual trainer. And often, you know, another little tip that people can look for is, you know, the type of jockey riding it in the trial, whether or not they're a heavyweight jockey, and that would obviously make a difference too. And what types of jockeys get engaged to ride trials.
Very good point. Paul, thank you for that as always, and you'll be back again next Monday with another edition of the Masterclass, and of course we will have our weekly review online shortly.
Thanks, Nadia.